All right, Hebrews 11. Let's go there. And they say what it feels like. It's more just that, you know, that drainage thing, and you try to talk. And so we're going to get through this today. Kenny texted me about 8:30 this morning. You good? And I didn't even respond. Like, I'm going to be good. So we're good because I have a word I really want to share with you this morning. And I think it's a powerful word because a lot of times we don't realize how our faith gets robbed from us in different areas. And this is one that I just want to encourage. So far, the worship's been amazing. Everything's been great this morning. And just a reminder that God doesn't forsake us. He doesn't look down on us. When we fail, he's got a remedy. We can go to him and receive mercy. And that is an awesome, awesome thing. And I just mean encourage this morning. So Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So we know this verse. We've used it a few times in our church, just once or twice a week. We do, and those that don't understand, the reason why this message of faith resounds in my heart so much is because of verse 6, if you just jump down there real quick. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And for he that cometh to God must believe, have faith, that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to be someone who's a rewarder, being rewarded by God, it takes faith. One way or the other, God rewards faith. I mean, I've said this before, and I've heard other preachers say it. If God was moved just on the basis of need, Ethiopia and all the other poorest places, down in the most poorest places in the world would be the most blessed because God would be moved by their need. Instead, God gets moved by faith. He gets moved by your faith. You want to move God? You want to see the rewards of heaven come in your place? It just takes faith. Faith to believe that he is who he is and he is rewarded them that diligently seek him. The two things we must do with faith is to seek him and believe that he is who he is. That's powerful. And so that's part of what I'm going to share this morning is he is God, he is good, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what comes with that is verse 1, jump back to verse 1 if you can. Now faith is the evidence of things, is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance, let's break this word down for a minute because I want to share a few things about hope in a minute. Substance means this. It means a foundation. It means a substructure. It means something that's been set. So this word is that when you, like most of you know, I like to do construction. I enjoy it, believe it or not. It's not just something, it's not a side job for me. I love building things. I love the fact that when Kenny and I had the privilege of painting a Taco Bell down in Princeton, Indiana the other day, and the company had a chance to come and they saw it when they did their audit, and they took a picture of this and they said, this store, look, it looks perfect. Now, it wasn't pride, but it was joy to know that Kenny and I did that store. Well, he did like 2/3 of it. But it doesn't matter. We did it together. Yeah. he does 2/3 of all the work right now is what he'll tell you if you believe him. He probably does when it comes to painting. But I love the joy. There's joy in me when I see a finished product. When you like to build, everything must start with a solid foundation. If it has a bad foundation, Your project's going to be messed up from the beginning. But the word substance here is the word for foundation, substructure, something that's been set, something that's set solid that cannot be moved and cannot be shaken. And so if faith is the structure and the foundation of faith is the things we hope for, then where is our hope lying? If faith, main foundation and structure, the thing that holds us together in walking in faith is this, hope for, then maybe our hope needs to get back in line with God's hope. This morning I shared with the prayer team, and Josh opened up prayer this morning in a wonderful way. Rather than saying, you know, Holy Spirit, we welcome. No, Holy Spirit welcomes us because he's always everywhere, anywhere, always. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. God's presence never departs. And so when we walk in a room, God's there. Why? Because he's waiting and longing for us to come to his place. And when you go into a grave situation, God's already there. You don't have to invite him in. And when you go to a hospital room and you're praying with somebody, you know, hey, God, would you come in there? He was already there before you got there. God is omnipresent. When we begin, and this is where I want to see our expectation level get to a place where he is already. Rather than trying to get him to come and infuse him in our situation, is seeing instead that God was already there in the beginning. God was already at the car accident. God was already at the yelling, the screaming, the discussions that we have in marriages. God's there. He's present. rather than trying to invite him into a place of getting him to help, we get our expectation that he's already been there. He already has. A broken arm, nothing in God's eyes. Boom. Just one touch from the God that's already been there can heal that broken arm. One touch from the one and fevers disappear. One touch and your grave situation can turn around when we understand that we have lowered our expectation on what God can do. I really believe one of the reasons why the church is not living in a place of the greatest victory ever is because we've lowered our expectation. I'll give you one quick testimony. That is really actually quite exciting. Tuesday night, we have home groups, and those were at the last home group. It was running late, and we're kind of like, okay, what do we do? And so we begin to pray. And through prayer, I don't remember who all. I know Tim released a word about a specific area. Odyssey. So Tim was, we were praying, and he called out an error. Was it kidneys or something? Kidneys. And later somebody, I won't mention names. I won't mention that it was Christy. But Christy then at the end, oh my gosh, she was just praying about something about her kidneys, and the Lord just gave her confirmation, hey, you know what, so everything's going to be okay. And then somebody else gave a word about headaches. And I was talking to Beth later, because this is what I want to talk, this is the next series I'm going to do, by the way. I love the fact that we're charismatic Pentecostal people, but you know what I hate? That I hate the fact that we're just going to be that without bearing fruit. I want to be a fruit-bearing charismatic. I want to be someone who, when God says something through the word of prophecy, we see fruit from it. When God says you're healed, you see fruit. I want to see a fruitful church. And that's one thing I do get a little frustrated sometimes. We get a lot of hoopla, a lot of excitement. Great, come on, show me the fruit. And so that's why I'm sharing you the Tuesday night. And so I don't remember. I think it was Ken who actually gave the word about headaches. Was it? And Beth came to me later and she says, you know what? And she told me earlier in the day, boy, whatever pressure. And she said, as soon as that word was released, that pressure left and there's healing that took place. Someone was obedient to bring the word of the Lord and fruit came from that. I want to see a church, not just a Tuesday night home. I want to see a church that is hungering for the things of God and our expectation on God raises. And we get to a place where he's at rather than trying to bring him down to where we're at. We try to bring God down to a place where expectations are so low right now. God, I know that you can heal this body. I know you have the ability to, but just would you just at least give him peace or encouragement right now? And again, why? Because we don't want to disappoint. We don't want to put something out there and feel like we failed. But God wants you to get to a place where you're stepping off the edge and believing him for it. God wants you to get to a place in your faith where you're believing for him to do something that no man can. He's wanting you to get to a place where you want to see your marriage in a place that only God can see it. I don't give up on it. You know, I don't have the perfect, I mean, we've married a long time, so we're getting better at it. But but is my expectation at a point where, hey, this is good enough? At least we're not fighting no more. at least we're not screaming, yelling, is that God's best? The enemy, this is a quote that I've heard for many years, the enemy of that which is excellent is what? That which is good. Good enough will get you by. Excellence is what we should be striving for. We should be striving for a life in our families, in our relationships, in our finances, in our bodies. Are we living a life where we know that God's plan is excellence? He wants you to be healthy. He wants to be whole, not just barely get it together. Y'all get this? So faith and the substance of this is a getting our hope to a place where it's being renewed. Now, what robs is this. I'm going to give you a couple of verses. Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And this is the problem with some of us in the room. If we're honest with ourselves, one of the reasons why we're maybe not taking that step of faith out there hard and really believing out there on the edge where we're going to literally either fall or fly, that's it. Two different words. Fall and fail is kind of the same thing, right? Either fail or fly, guess what? We've fallen a few times and we're like, you know what? Maybe my hope just isn't there anymore. I've been hoping and believing for something and my heart's got a little sick. Can I tell you a little thing about when your heart gets sick about hope? You stop believing for the excellent and you start being okay with good. you start being okay with this getting by. You start being okay with, this is, you know what? Hey, at least we're not there. And you compare something to something over here when God's best is over here. And so we settle for mediocrity when God has something better for us. Y'all catch this? I believe this is the God's plan for us. It's like, believe now for the best. Believe that he's got something more than good, but he's got something excellent. But here's the problem when you get to a point where you're settling for mediocrity. You start living in a place of frustration. And it's inside of you. And you don't think anyone sees it. But when I get frustrated, maybe your marriages, maybe your friendships, maybe your job, maybe it's believing God for miracles, or whatever it is, you slowly allow frustration to get in there because of disappointment. And we start getting critical and judgmental. And we start, actually, we used a word right here. We become very difficult to be around because our expectations here, but we're stuffing it down because we're afraid that we're just going to fail again. I've been there. I've been to a point where it's like, God, oh, do I really want to believe for this again? Do I really want to fight for this again because I'm just not seeing it? And if you're honest with me, most of us have been to a point where believing God in a season of, and a couple weeks ago I preached a message on faith and patience, and that's how you receive your reward. Some of us get faith and we believe. But it's the patience that's being tested. And we get to a point, we run out of patience. And then we don't see the reward. And we wonder, man, we're failing again. I thought I was going to fly this time, but here I am falling again. And I believe this for you and for me today. We sang a song that could not have been better. God has never failed us. God has never let us down. Now, it's hard because sometimes you're like, well, I prayed. Why not? I don't have all your answers at times, and I'm not going to pretend I do. But I'm asking this. Will you believe one more time? Will you let your expectations stop being just mediocre and going for what's best? Will we allow our expectation to believe that God is who he said he is, Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He wants to reward you for your faith today. And I want you to believe for that family member that's not walking with God. Today, let's believe again. Let's believe again for healing. Let's believe again for a miracle in your life, whatever you need. Let's believe again that your marriage, this is, the, you know, remember, God does not, in fact, let me make this clear. God hates divorce. So we should hate it too. And anybody who's been through a divorce, they hate it too. Go hear testimonies of people who have been through it, and they'll go, man, it was difficult. Because it rips a part of you out. So when you go into that realm, thank you very much. When you go from the realm of trying to work everything out, it's not going to work. Listen to me carefully. It's not better. The grass is not greener on the other side. And I can have people stand up here right now and testify to you that it's not greener. It only seems greener. Because what you're looking at is your expectation on your spouse has gotten so low. Because you've had it up here and you dropped it so much that now you're living in a place of frustration and anger. Let's get our faith to a point where every marriage in this room, every relationship in this room, every job in this room has got an expectation that God has on it instead of ours. Do you know God has expectation on us? Good ones, that is. To see us not fail, but to succeed. To see us prosper and be in good health. These are prayers that the New Testament prays for us. And I'm going to get to one in just a minute. God wants every area of your life to succeed. He does not want to see you fail. And that includes every part of this message. Every part of it, whether it's your body, whether it's your relationships, whether it's everything in part, God wants, but we got to get our expectation to line up with his. When we get to his expectation, we believe and we start receiving those things. But let's jump to Galatians chapter 6. One more thing on the this side of it. Then we're going to start teaching a little bit on how to get these things fruitful in our lives. Do not be, you all know these scriptures. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, so shall a man also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in continuing to sow in well-doing. Keep in context, he's talking about sowing. Do not grow weary in continuing to sow in well-doing. For in due season, we will reap if, what? We don't quit, if we faint not. I don't have a quit button in me, guys. I don't have one. Either God's going to heal, or they're going to go to heaven, one way or the other. But I'm not believing for anything else. I'm not believing for anything less. Why? Because that is a failure. That's a faint button for me. When I go believing God for a miracle, I'm only believing for the miracle. Why? Because that's his word. That's where our expectation ought to get to. And if you have anything, if you have a plan B in your mind, I want to encourage you, let's get rid of plan B. It's not God's plan. God's plan is let us continue to sow in faith, prayers of believing, prayers of standing in the word. God's desire and is to heal. It's to get people free. It's to get people saved. If you ever give up, I don't want to give up. There's people I pray for every day. And I just recently, I had a chance. A situation actually that was kind of negative. And I was just talking to someone on the phone, and it was overheard by someone that was with me. And I knew in my gut that I could go, this is going to be some seed I can plant. So I get off the phone, and I tell this guy, I go, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you what this story was about. And I had a chance to share something. I'm going to leave it all out there. I don't need anyone. It doesn't matter. But I had a chance to share something that was ordained by the Lord. And I knew when I shared it, this guy is hearing it. I knew it. I was like, this is some seed. This is some seed. I've been sowing some seed. And it was exciting. And I'm like, keep going. And in my spirit, I kept feeling, just share this and share this and share. And I kept, and all of a sudden, I was like, wow, that was great. So we drive. We stop and have to get some McDonald's, obviously, because that's what's healthy. And so we had to go by and stop and get some food because we were driving a long ways. And then it gets back in the car. And the first thing happens as soon as we get back on the road, hey, let me ask you a question about what you were saying about that. And I just kind of in the back of my mind, I'm just grinning going, gotcha. That seed was bearing already. That seed was getting in there, asking questions about, what do you mean about this? I don't know if I, because they knew their life wasn't living with the expectation God has for them. But I was sharing over here that there is a warning not to live because there's a day that we can, what do you mean by this? And all of a sudden you could see the seed being planted, getting some root in there. And I'm not kidding you, a week later, I was asked another question about the same thing. I'm telling you, that phone call I got that was overheard that I was able to expound upon was seed. And I'm just going to believe, am I giving up? I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep sowing, and I'm going to keep believing for everybody I'm around that the miracle of God, the salvation, the wholeness, the restoration, the healing, the freedom that they need, I'm not going to give up and go weary in just sowing. Even if it takes weeks to years, I'm not going to give up because God's word never gives up. God's word doesn't fail. And guess what? There's something called the human will, and they've got to yield it one day. And I believe that God's spirit continues to work and work and work. It's like just softening the hardened ground till all of a sudden we start seeing a fruit. And that way I want to be. I want to keep going. But when we get weary, we give up. When we give up, we then go, well, God failed us again. God didn't do it. That's not true. God didn't. We gave up. And sometimes it's pressing in. And there's a story in the book of Daniel where Daniel prayed a prayer. And when he prayed, he waited. He waited. And Daniel kept praying and fasting. And somebody remind me, how many days was it? 21? Thank you. And the angel finally got there and he goes, you know what? I literally was dispatched at the very moment of your prayer, but it took me 21 days to get through to where I'm at now. There is a warfare going on above us sometimes that none of you ever know about. And that angel of the Lord was being dispatched, but it took 21 days to fight that to get to where it was. I'm believing right now that we don't understand everything we're praying and believing for, but there's more than just you speaking out something and praying and wondering why it doesn't happen like a microwave. Let's believe God that when we know we're speaking his word, let's make sure we know it's his word, right? When you speak forth his word, he'll dispatch and you will receive the promise because it's his word. When we get to a point where we get frustrated, we allow ourselves to complain and be negative. And being around that is, now when I hear negativity, a lot of times here's the first thing I think of. When someone's negative about a situation, about a person, about this, I realize, how did they get disappointed by you? Where was your level? See, you don't get frustrated, angry at somebody if you didn't have an expectation on them. True? It's very hard to get upset with someone. And so there's an old phrase that if you, it's kind of comical actually, but it's if your expectation's up here and you keep getting failed, just lower your expectation. And actually, Kenny and I were meeting recently, someone said that to us. I go, no way, never. I'm not going to lower our expectations. But you know what? That's what we do is we just lower a little bit more until we're now barely mediocre. And rather than believing that God is the God of breakthrough and healing and deliverance, now we're, hey, God, just get us by today. We'll be okay. God wants you to he wants us to be blessed in every aspect of our life. Let's go to this. Ephesians chapter 1. You're in Galatians. Just turn over one page in your Bibles. I'm gonna read two of my favorite prayers in the Bible. And this one right here is probably my favorite. So let's start here. This is a prayer that Paul is praying over the church at Ephesus. And today I want to pray this over us, and I want you to see that in verse 18 where it says the word hope there. I want you to see where we tie it all together right here. Verse 17, that the God, he was saying that I'm not ceasing, verse 16, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in prayer. And then he says this. This is his prayer for this church. It's the prayer for my life and your life today, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, unto you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ready? That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. May a light get turned on this very moment in your spirit, that you may know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in all the saints. Do you know that today? The hope of the calling. There is a hope that we ought to have in our own lives for ourselves to succeed and to live in the inheritance of his blessing and calling in our lives. And 19, and what is, he wants your eyes, this is for you now, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who have faith. The word believe is the word faith. Who have faith. According to the working of what? His mighty power. Your faith is lining up with what he's already done. Because I want you to increase with power so you can tap into his mighty power. How? Through faith. Faith believing that his power is working on your behalf. Verse 20, this is just as amazing. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And chapter 2, by the way, goes on and tells us that we're seated in him in those places. Far above. No more. This is our spiritual warfare. Any of you that like to do spiritual warfare, this right here is understanding your position in a place of warfare. This is your posture in prayer over warfare. Far above. This is where you're seated now. You are seated in him. As a matter of fact, just stop. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Back to chapter 1. It's the same page for me. It's just boom. Back to 1. Where were you seated? Where is Christ seated? In heavenly places. Where are we? In Jesus. Where? In heavenly places. So now you know your position. You're already in him. You have a position of victory, a posture of no defeat. And you know that when you come to the throne, you're already there with Jesus petitioning on the behalf of Jesus because you're in him. Your position is a place of victory. Far above, verse 21, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world and also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all the church, which is the body and the fullness of him that fills all in all. We have been given that type of authority on this earth that nothing can rob you and block you from living in the authority that God's given you over all spiritual darkness, over all dominion, over everything in the world to come. We have been given God's authority to operate properly. Jump over to chapter 3, please. That's the hope that we've been given. That type of power, that type of authority, and that type of calling on our lives, we ought to realize that we should not settle for anything less than that right there. And then this is another prayer that Paul prays, and this is probably one of my favorites too. I don't know which one's favorite, chapter 1 or 3, but it's okay. They're both pretty good. But we're going to close with this one, and I got a few thoughts I'm going to share for this. For this cause, verse 14. Oh, I apologize. Verse 20 is where I'm going to get to, just to let you know. That's where we're going to end with. That's the finale. That's the fireworks that Kenny loves so much. He likes fireworks. So we're going to give him some fireworks. I get some water so I can make sure I have a voice left when I do that. All right, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth, his name has been derived, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. Wow, I could stop the prayer right there. Isn't that good enough? I'm strengthened with power in my inner man. Now I'm in. Now the power of God is strengthening me, my inner man, so I can be victorious. This is good stuff. Verse 17, that Christ, the anointed one, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Why are you rooted and grounded in love? Because you're rooted and grounded in him, and God is love. And therefore, love ought to flow in us and through us and out of us, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what? His love for you. And that word comprehend. Never mind. Let me just keep going. Verse 19. This is where I want to. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Let me stop there. This is one of my favorite. I probably have heard said this 1,000 times in the last 20-something years I've been here. Those are two different words. That you may know the love of God, which passes knowledge. This is the word Gnostic. Gnosis there. But it comes from Gnosticism, where the early church was beginning to fill with a bunch of knowledge, that they started honoring their knowledge above their experience, which, by the way, we have now a lot of people honoring their experience above their knowledge, which is just can be just as dangerous, okay? So don't get me wrong. There's dangers on both ends here. But this church was so ingrained, their head knowledge was so strong that they, well, no, we believe this, but there's no fruit from it. There's no experience from it. This word know is literally the same Greek word that says Mary knew not a man or knew a man and was pregnant. That word right there means something intimate. It means there's an experience that took place. There was something that this is how God wants you to understand and have a revelation of his love for you, that you know him so well that you can understand and have a revelation and have an encounter and experience that his love saturates and permeates the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of his love for you, that you know that you're so loved that you would not just be filled with knowledge, but love. Because it says, Paul says later in 1 Corinthians, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love builds people up. Love will build people up around you. Faith works by love, Paul also says. So when we understand that when we are rooted and grounded in love, we understand who we are in the eyes of him that loves me so much and has grace and mercy towards me, not acknowledging that we don't ever sin and not needing repentance because we need that, but his love and mercy covers us so much that when you understand how loved you are, you're going to live in that love. You're not going to try to earn the love. It's already yours. Why? Because you're born again. Once you're adopted, you know what? We use this story all the time, but once you've been adopted, that family takes that child in and should. That family was waited for months, if not years, for that adoption to take place. Spent thousands of dollars to get that adoption to take place. By the time that child comes in their family, they are almost more loved, if possible, can't be, because it's not true. They're just as loved as if that was one of their own. Because they purchased that one with such a price, and that's what we are to God. He purchased us with his son's life. The blood of Jesus was purchasing my salvation, and I was adopted, and I'm loved by the Father as if I am Jesus himself. You get that? Because Jesus was the Son. He loves me that much. With the same that love that he had for his Son, he has for me today. That's the kind of adoption we're talking about. And that's the kind of love he wants you to embrace. That's how he views us. This is why I can't stop this prayer. It's this one of the most amazing prayers in the Bible. Because he's given you, I don't want you just to know God loves you. I want you to experience God's love. How? Is by loving, letting his love flow into you in such a way that you can't help but love everyone around you. That your marriages and your relationships, your friendships, your coworkers ought to feel the experience that you have in your life of love ought to just permeate through you, and that faith works by love, and everything you're believing for is because of love flowing in and out of you. This is the prayer that Paul has for us. This is the expectation I want to get to in my life, that I want to have an expectation that God's love, do you think it's pretty loving to heal? Yep. Love. When we understand that the fullness of this message in just a second, and that's why the verse 20 in just a second is going to be so huge, because the foundation of all the gospel is rooted in John 3:16 still. For God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus. Verse 17, he didn't come to condemn the world, but to restore the world through Jesus. And when we have the message of that hope inside of us, that love ought to, by love we're saved, through love we're saved, and out of his love we ought to operate faith to receive the blessings. And that our expectation is that God loves Tim Carroll so much that whatever Tim Carroll needs, I want to believe with him for it, because that's God's love to Tim. When you start praying that way, your expectation level isn't, oh, you know what, I just pray for this guy, Timmy, and hopefully he gets what he wants. No, I pray that Tim would experience the love of God by getting the miracle and the breakthrough he needs today. My prayers change. My foundation's changing because the expectation I have in me is rising, because I know that the love of God is what's manifesting when healing comes forth and miracles come forth and blessing comes forth. That's just God's love for you. You're a child of his. Let him pour out his love for you, whether it's healing, whether it's miracles, whether it's blessing financially, whatever it might be in your life. We have got to get to a point where we understand that is just the love of God flowing into his kids. That's my expectation today. I want to rise way up here to get to a point where I understand the fullness of God. Oh, let's just keep going. Look, I just ruined it right there. Okay, so let's read the second part of this verse. Now let's read the first part over again. And that you might know and experience God's love. Love, the love of Christ, which passes your head knowledge, that you may be filled, oh my, with all the fullness of God. Anybody want that today? There's an anointing on that right there, that we could be filled with all his fullness. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, in this room, I just receive that word of that was written right here by faith today. I have been given all the fullness of God inside of me right now. Just receive it. It's mine. Right now. I am filled today with all the fullness of God. Amen? You receive that? Whew, I do. Thank you. All right, good. Verse 20. Here's the fireworks, Kenny, just for you. Now to him that is able, has the ability. I want you to see this. God has the ability, but look how it works. God has now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Well, we just got crazy here, folks. That just got crazy. You think about this. When you read this verse, it ought to just make you go, this is just absolute craziness right here. Hey, Ken, this was the verse that you quoted Tuesday night right here. And then, because I already was bragging on you a minute ago, by the way. I'm not bragging, just encouraging that you're obedient. And by the way, since you didn't get a chance to hear it, Ken, the word that you gave Tuesday night about heads releasing pressure and headaches, Beth, after the meeting, told me that as soon as you spoke that word, her body was completely healed. So thanks for your obedience, brother. But he actually quoted this verse before he prayed it. Now to him that is able. So we never have to trust the ability of God, right? God is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all. What? Does that not just take you back for a minute? We got to get this. above all that you can ask or think. Folks, my mind can think of some stuff. I can think of some stuff. I mean, I have some cool things in my life. I like to, you know, I'm looking at some fun stuff. I mean, if I can ask those things, why can't I receive those things if God says I can? Because I want you to see something. That is expectation, folks. That is the definition of where our expectation needs to get to as a church. If we can't actually read that verse and get excited about it, we need to change our excitement. We need to change our expectation, because that is what God has put in us to believe for. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. Not just above, and not just exceedingly, but exceedingly beyond above. It's like exponential. And I want to get this through to you, because this is the fireworks to me. This is the excitement to me, that God is able to do these things. So we're not receiving from God, not because of his ability, according to the power that works in us. We have to activate this. We have the power to release this. God has given this to us as a responsibility to see it happen. You see, I know in my heart, if we were truly honest ourselves, we want more. Everyone in this room wants more. I want more to see. I want to see this morning I thought was really good. But could we go deeper? Yeah, we can. I want to see more healings. I want to see the fact that David Hogan has a ministry that goes down to Mexico and sees a bunch of people raised from the dead, like 700 or 800 people. Very few of them ever happen in American soil. It's time for us to stop believing that there's a sphere around America that we can't see these things. We see them all over the world. When your evangelists walk driving all over flying all over the world, and yet America. Why? I want to get to a point. It's not God's, folks. It's not God's fault. He said, "Now, do you, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above. I'm able." But the power that works in you must see it through. I want to see this power manifest in this church, in this city, in these lives. Not so we can go, man, look what I did, but man, this is how the gospel gets reached. I don't know about you, but walking through Walmart and praying for someone to get healed, and they get healed, you might just have a revival break out there in Walmart. See, this is the other thing about revival that I'm really getting tired of. Revival is, we talked about this on our group Tuesday night too. Sorry, it's all about our Tuesday night group. We had a good time, by the way, if you haven't noticed. But we're also talking about this. Revival is a move of God when we embrace what he's done in us. And when every one of us, it gets to be a mass revival. Well, it starts with us setting ourselves on fire to a point where we are seeing that power working through us. And imagine if 5 people, then 25 people, then 125 people get all this through. There's going to be thousands of people infected by the gospel. And the gospel is a gospel with power in that showing through us today. Verse 21, let's not leave this part. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all the ages, world without end. Amen. Why does he want to do these things? So the church, his church, the glorious church, we get all the glory. And his name would be honored into all the world. My expectation level today, for me, I want to raise it myself. So here's what I'd like to do for you. Look how early, Kenny, look how early. I mean, this is amazing. It's only 11:40. I'm excited. I'm going to list like 20 things quickly, maybe 5. I have no idea. They're going to come off the top of my head, so I warn you. But I want to list some things for you right now. And I want you to confess this very moment, if you would, to before the Lord, not before me, have you lowered your expectation in these areas? Starting with the most important relationship you have with God. Have you lowered the point where you're expecting God to be there and be your life source? Because when we get to that point where we think we do it ourselves, Kenny preached a really fun message last week. The whole thing about we must do our part so he can do his. That's pretty awesome. We got to step out and do our part so God can do his. Well, when it comes to our relationship with him, are we believing that God is the one that can finish the work and be the one in your life? If not, it's time today to bow the knee and say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord. Now, before you do that, we're going to list all the other areas, okay? The second most important relationship we have on the planet is what? It's our marriages. So, today, if you're in a place that your marriage is okay, that's good, I'm happy for you. But is it exceedingly abundantly okay? Is it exceedingly abundantly thriving? If it's not, you don't quit. You get your expectation level back on God's plan for your marriage. So any of you in this room, you all qualify. Just let you know, oh, my marriage is good. Good isn't good enough, is it? Excellence we're going for. Excellence we're going for. Amen? Excellence is what we want. We want you to be like that. Never mind. We want you to be excellent. Leave it at that. It's good. Good. We don't want you to have that whole, what is it, PDA? No, we don't need that. Is that PDA? We don't need politics. Yeah, PDA. We don't need that stuff ever. Not in church. But we want you to be in love. If it's not there, there's something in your heart that's been hardened. Today, get rid of it. It's not God's desire. It's not God's will. He wants you to have a marriage that's exceedingly above. Amen? Your children, are they walking with God? Where are they at? Let's pray that whether your kids, or how about this? Some of you right now in the room, how about your grandkids? Are they exceedingly above and beyond? Are we believing for those things for our how about physical healing? How about this? How about the fact that some of you are struggling financially, and the reason why you're not blessed is because you're unwilling to do what it takes to submit to God in those areas of your finances? I believe with all my heart in tithing. Why? Because I do it. I believe it. It's not because I'm the pastor here. It's because I believe it's God's word. It's established before the law. It made it through the law. And it's then reestablished in the New Testament. I mean, not many things in the word was established before the law and went all the way through. So I believe it. Why? Because I believe it's God's desire for us to show obedience to him in one area of our finances. Show me obedience there. And then he says, what does he say in Malachi 3? You bring in your tithes and offerings, see if I won't open windows of heaven for you. Remember that? So to me, it's even a challenge for me to make sure I don't get behind on those areas of the blessing of the Lord. And are we sowing with our own? Are we giving offerings? Are we blessing people with it? Because that's where true blessing comes to. So this morning, that's what I want. I want our expectation. Is there any other areas in your life right now that you've lowered your expectations at work, maybe your careers? I want to believe God today that we'll get our expectations lined up so we can start seeing God do what he wants to do in our lives. Miracles, signs, wonders shall follow all those that believe. To who? All those that believe. Am I a believer? Then why is it not following me? And by the way, Where are they following you? Where did Jesus do most of his miracles? Probably, I'm guessing, at the synagogue on Sunday mornings. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. They followed him as he walked through the streets like the woman of the issue of blood ran after and fell after. Literally was chasing Jesus. Became a stalker and grabbed the hem of his garment. Why? Because he was walking and the anointing was flowing and signs and miracles followed him as a woman touched his garment. Why? Because that is what follows believers. So we ought to be going out to the world, to the streets, where I heard last night, some of Ken went out, I don't know who all went, but going out to do street, Todd White, a name that I enjoy quite a bit. He walks out, sits on a street corner, and this is the gift that he has, by the way, I think it's pretty phenomenal. I've watched videos where he goes, hey, come here, you. And he goes, God, what do you want? And he literally gives them a prophetic word from the Lord. He talk about stopping them in their tracks. How'd you, it's on video. How'd you know that? God told me. Now here's what God wants me to tell you. And the first was a word of knowledge. If you get around people who operate a lot in the prophetic, they'll give you a word of knowledge first to get you to just stop in your tracks and go, okay. Because even the devil knew that, by the way. That ain't tricky. The word of knowledge is just to get your attention. But then he says to them, this is what the Lord's telling me. And I've watched sinners get saved right there on a street corner because Todd White was obedient. And he let the signs and wonders follow him on the street corner to get them saved. I want to be this. Amen? I want to be a church that's known to have the power of God work in. So let's do this today. You ready? We don't need music, do we? Who needs music? Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you and we realize that unintentionally, maybe some of us are in a place where we've allowed our frustrations to mount up because our expectations have been not met. Unmet, unfulfilled expectation leads to great frustration. So today, rather than lowering my expectation, I renew that today. I raise my expectation up, not down. I don't even want to keep the same. I want to raise the expectation that I have to your expectation level on my relationships and everything we're going to talk about. So today, the first thing I do, if you would with me in your own words before the Lord, the first thing I do is I repent for allowing frustration to allow me to be negative and have a bad outlook on what you're doing. I repent today, God, because I've lowered my expectation because I've been disappointed. Maybe in the people around me, and maybe in you, with you, God, but I have lowered it because I have been frustrated. I've been a little negative, maybe a lot for some, and I'm done. I don't want to live this way. So today I repent. Come on, let that door open in your life today. Don't stop. Don't miss this step, please. Repentance is the doorway to freedom. So those areas today, God, that I've allowed my expectation unfulfilled lead to just more frustration and negativity, I release that to you today. And I thank you for your mercy and your grace. My expectation in all the areas that we talked about, whether it's just in the church, in our marriage, in our lives, in our friendships, we've lowered it. We've been frustrated. So today, we repent of those things now in Jesus' name. And now, I want to speak over every marriage in this room, including my own, everyone. Lord, I pray today that a Holy Ghost expectation would rise in each one of us, that our marriages would look like the way you designed them for, that our expectation would be your expectation of what marriage should be like. I choose today to not give in or give up. I choose to fight with hope, with expectation, because my foundation of faith is solid, knowing that as long as I have the expectation and the hope, now faith is the substance, the foundation of my expectation today. My expectation is your word that my marriage will be strong, healthy, and whole and intimate. And I declare those things over my marriage, over our marriage, this room, and I believe by faith I receive them today. And I'm going to stand on that word. I'm going to fight for that word. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing. I'm going to continue to stand and believe no matter what I see. If we would have kept reading in those verses in Hebrews 11, by the way, you'd have seen faith is not what they've spoken of, what they couldn't see. And so right now, you might not be able to see that in your own life, but trust me, faith will let you see it and believe it and receive it. All of our children and grandchildren right now, we call forth by faith. And our expectation is no matter what they're doing in their lives, we believe that God's word goes forth today. And me and my household shall be saved. Declare that over my family and over every family in this room, that me and my household shall be saved. That's my expectation today. Nothing less. That is my expectation. Salvation shall come into my house. In Jesus' name. For everyone, their jobs right now, your careers, Lord, I pray right now that every career, where there's frustration, may their expectation on their career today be reset. That either you have them there for a reason and they can see it, or you have something greater for them. But our expectation is to believe the blessing of the Lord is upon that. Anybody in this room, I just want to believe with you right now. If there's any physical healing right now in your body that you need, or if you want to stand in and for someone right now, speak out their name in just a minute. I'm believing today that my expectation level on healing and miracles, signs, and wonders is going to increase today. And I don't have a plan B anymore. It's gone. Fall or fly. And I'm going to believe for flying. I'm going to believe. I'm going to jump off this ledge and I'm going to fly. So today, in my body, I pronounce, declare, the word of God is real. Over the top of my head, to every bone, back, in all the, whatever the organs are inside of my body, all the way down to my ankles and my knees and my feet and every part of my arms and my shoulders and my neck, I'm believing right now that the word of God is not a failure. The word of God says I am healed, and so therefore my expectation is to believe I am healed. And those that we're believing for right now, we speak out their names in the name of Jesus and speak healing over those bodies right now in Jesus' name. I am expecting nothing less. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think to the power that works in you right now. In Jesus' name. I receive this all by faith, knowing that my expectation will determine my foundation, which will determine how the faith that I walk in that pleases you. In Jesus' name, we declare all these things now. Amen. One last closing thought for you is this. If faith pleases God, and the foundation of faith is expectation, you know what really pleases God today? You start expecting God to be God in your life, in all these areas. That's what pleases God. I think sometimes we have this mindset where I don't want to put all that on God. What? God wants you to. He wants you to put that expectation on him. So I just encourage you. God loves it. Because he's the one that said, now faith is the substance, the foundation of your expectation and hope. So let's put our hope back in him and let's walk out of here. Amen? Faith increases, expectation increases, and I'm believing right now, folks, listen, I'm waiting for a testimony. Okay, that's it. I'm not waiting for a bad report. I'm waiting for a testimony on God's greatness in your marriages, in your relationships, in your friendships, in your families, in your bodies, in your finances. I don't care what it is. I'm believing expectation is rising up. Amen? Amen. Have a great week. We'll see y'all this throughout the week, and get ready for parade day coming up. Kenny.